It can be found on in the church Bibles on 1014. It's titled The Little Children in Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them.
Thank you. We're going to go straight on. We're not going to sing the next song. We're going to go straight into our little talk this morning. Now, Steve's going to flick on the slides for me. But we're going to think about one or two things that Jesus said, especially to you children. What I'm going to say is to you children, but it's also very much to parents and to adults in this church. Because you kids are very valuable, very valuable. So the value of children. Now, we're just going to have a little fly through some slides, and you've got to tell me, adults can raise their hands, but we're going to take the children first, what you think the value of these things is. So what do you? How much do you think this would be worth? Right? If you wanted this for Christmas, a Minion Tim talking figure. Have a guess. Give me a figure. Children first. Come on. Give me a figure. How much if you went to buy it in the shops?
20 quid.
£20. Good guess. Any other guesses?
40.
Somebody? Jacob?
86.
Right, let's have a look. £39.99 if you wanted to buy it today. £40 on the nose. Next one. A Despicable Me fart blaster. If you wanted to buy that, how much would that cost you today? Guesses?
£30.
£39.99. £40. Jacob? How much? 12. Let's have a look. £25 for a fart blaster. That's a bargain, I reckon. I'm going to get two. Right, what about this? If you want an Apollo cupcake girls' bike, boys, what do you think you'd pay? Nathan, what do you pay for that?
£60.
£99. Let's have a look. What was it? £59.99. That's all right. Next one. Right, look at this. An MRX 750 boys bike. Come on, boys. Laura? 60.
150.
Ooh. Not you. I was looking behind you. 80, I'll take. 90. Let's have a... Oh, no. Scott, what do you reckon? Put it up, then. £99. £100. Penny short, okay. Crystal stud earrings. Go on, Laura, what would that cost you? Down at Claire's, crystal stud earrings. David, you haven't got a clue. You can guess. Over 100. Come on. Good. 15. Let's have a look, Steve. £14. Good guess. So, that get them from Claire's. What about these earrings? 18 carat, white gold, diamond sapphire, stud earrings. Come on. Yes? Oh, you're just scratching your neck. Okay, Laura. 25?
2,000.
2,000 or 3,000? There was a hedging his bets there.
25,000.
500. Let's have a look. £3,250. So, Oliver, you're in the region of. Okay. If you want an Xbox One. 180. 231, Andrew. 430. Let's have a look. £596. I'd like to shop at your shop. Okay, there you go. Now, an iPad Air with Wi-Fi cellular. One, two, top of the range. Top of the range. £700. Nathan? £700. Yes? £560. Let's have a look. £739. You guys. Very close. Very close. Now then. A Breitling Bentley gold watch. I have a couple of these at home. £200. Any advance? £400. £1,000. Nathan?
8,500? Let's have a look. 23,250 pounds! Unbelievable! Okay, next one. The most expensive yacht in the world. No. Yes. 50,000 pounds. 250,000 pounds. No, Dad. Yes.
540 billion.
Well, you've just ruined it. 540 billion. 800 million. If you want that yacht, it'll cost you 800 million pounds. You know who owns that yacht? Dollars. So 600 million pounds ish. Abramovich. Yeah, don't flick on too fast. What are you doing? Just go steady, blimey. He's ruining it. There's an awful lot of value in there, isn't there? Now then, I just want to ask Paula to come here. All right, Paula, come here. Is Paula here? Did I see Paula? Your mum, is she here? Where is she? Come on, quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Paula. Let's put that yacht up, the next one. You see this yacht here? This yacht, you can have 70 staff. It's got 24 bedrooms. It's got two helipads. It's got its own submarine. How about that for your daughter?
No, thank you. I take that one every time.
All right. Thank you. Oh, well. Nev, my friend Nev. Come here. Nev. Now, this is a carrot. This is a carrot. Let's look at this next slide. This is the last slide. We have got a Buckingham Palace. Think about all those bedrooms.
Okay.
As much gold as you can possibly have. The fastest car in the world. Yeah. And a year's supply. In fact, I'll give you a life supply of chocolates.
Okay.
What do you reckon for Jenny?
Not a chance, no.
You sure?
I could probably sell her.
Thank you. Now listen, children, young people, there was a comparison made. All those things for one of you, parents said no chance. And that's because you are incredibly valuable to your mum and dad. Very, very valuable. There is no money that could buy you. No amount of money could ever buy you kids or wean you away from your parents. Now, I was selective who you asked. If I asked Pam, maybe we're... No, truthfully, you're so valuable. But you know, you're even more valuable to God. Even more valuable to God than you are to your parents. How do we know that? Well, the Bible tells us that, but there's somebody in the Bible that shows us that. Anybody want to tell me who that is? It's the one of those two answers that we always give. It's the J one. Jesus. It is Jesus. And when we listen to Jesus, when we see what Jesus said, we realize how valuable kids are to their families, and not just their families, to churches, to us. Incredibly valuable. That passage that Martin read, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and bless them. Now, it's amazing. Jesus had loads and loads of people around him all the time. Thousands of people. And a lot of the people that wanted to talk to Jesus were people who thought they were really important. Have you ever seen some of these people in these big churches with big robes? Have you seen them with the fancy coloured robes? Or you see some vicars with dog collars? Well, these kind of guys thought they were really important, and they wanted Jesus' time because they wanted to grill him and talk to him about all the things that they thought were really, really important. And Jesus had children coming to him, and he blessed them. And families were there and wanted to bring their children to see Jesus. And he loved children. And the disciples got things a little bit wrong, because you know what they did? It says there, they said, "Hey, push off, kids. Take your kids away, parents, because Jesus has got too many important things to do than to worry about your children." And Jesus saw what was going on, and the Bible says he was indignant. He was not happy. He was not happy at all. And he said to his disciples, "You let those children come to me. You let those children come to me. I want to see these children. I love these children. He's basically saying, you guys are as important, if not more important, than these people who think they're important. He said, you come to me. And then he threw a bit of a spanner in the works. He says, have faith like these little children. That's important. That's what it's all about. Having faith like these little children. Not these super big theologians that think they know everything. We learnt about some big words today. Now, it's important to know the meaning of those words. But if those words become the biggest thing, as opposed to knowing Jesus, you miss the point. Jesus said, you children can come to me, and I want you to come to me. But there's a reason why Jesus feels so much and loves children. There's a number of reasons. One of the reasons why children, you kids, you young people, are so special to Jesus is because you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable. When you're 11 or 12, you don't like to think you're vulnerable. You like to think you're big and tough at school, but you're vulnerable. And younger than 12, you're vulnerable. And Jesus knew that. Often in Jesus' day, as today, children are abused and hurt. And we see some awful things in the world. The Hebrew people cared for their children, loved their children, but many in that age saw their children as being possessions, not as being people. And often they were neglected. For today, I was looking up how many orphans there are in the world, and UNICEF estimate there's anywhere between 160 and 220 million orphans in the world. Isn't that heartbreaking? 160 to 220 million orphans. Now, the majority of them are in Africa, 39 million. But in India, there's 11 million. 11 million baby orphans. Baby orphans. And 90% are girls, because they're not needed, not wanted. It's heartbreaking. Jesus sees the scene. He sees the vulnerability of children, and he loves them. And he says, you can come to me. He also sees something very beautiful in children, and that's a purity of heart, a purity of spirit. You know, when you're with children and you're playing, there's no side to them. They've not been tainted by the world and the things that we see on television, all those kind of things. There's a beauty to their spirit and a purity to their minds. And Jesus loved that. He saw something very special in that, and he wished his people were like that. And then also, he saw their simple faith. He sees that there's children here that love God, love his Father, and are loving him. And he sees their simple faith, their beautiful, simple faith. And Jesus just adored that. It's precious. It's really precious. So Jesus had love and compassion for these little children. Jesus sees all of these children as being valuable, incredibly valuable. Jesus just loved these kids. But you know, there's a reminder here. It's a reminder to all of us. Jesus came to earth to die for sinners of all ages, whether they're this size or whether they're this size. All people he came to die for, even little children. He doesn't say to you, kids, he doesn't say, I want you to follow me when you've left school or when you've finished your exams or when you've turned 13 years old or whether you've found yourself a job. He doesn't say that. He wants you to come to him. Anytime, any age, no matter how young you are, he will accept you and love you. He says, whatever you're doing, come to me. But the most important thing is this. He says, you need me. We all need him. But even you children need Jesus as your Savior and your friend. You need Jesus to be number one in your lives. And you need him, as he did this day, to come and lay his hands upon you. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 11, 7 to 11, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, but the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, if you've got a brother or sister at home and you have a bit of a Barney or you want to go and ask them something, sometimes you go and knock on their door, push off is the answer you get from inside the door. We hear that occasionally. In our house, bang, 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 let me in. We'll not let you in. I don't know if you've seen that, Oliver. Bang, let me in. And they won't let you in. Can I tell you, if any of you, young or old, go to Jesus, you pray to him and ask him to help you and come to you, ask him to be your Savior, he'll not leave the door shut. He won't say push off. He won't stay quiet because he loves you. In the passage before, he said, bring those children to me. and he wants you to come to me. But that passage goes on. It says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, because he's hungry, will give him a snake? It's a bit of a strange thing. Who'd do that? What kind of parent would do that? You've got to be a bad parent to do that. But if you then, though you're evil, though we're sinful, know how good it is to give good things to your children, because that's what we want to do, isn't it? Give good things to our children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know, children, young people, if you ask Jesus to be your friend and your Savior, he will give you amazing things because he loves you so, so very much. You know, Christmas is coming, isn't it? And at Christmas time, we're going to want gifts, or we like to receive gifts. Yeah? Any gifts any of you have asked for, asked Father Christmas for, or asked your parents for? Anybody? What are you wanting? iPad Mini. Awesome. Awesome. Dad doesn't know yet, and he's John Pale. Yes. What do you want? Anything you like? No, not you. What do you fancy? I'll tell you what I wanted. I wanted 2013 review of the World Speedway series, okay? Because I really like Speedway. I got into this. And I'm not going to give his name, but a very dear friend in this church bought me it for Christmas. I already know it's coming. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't I a lucky chappy? The girls aren't, because they're not going to be able to watch television, because I'll be watching Speedway all Christmas. But you know, we get good gifts at Christmas, and it's lovely to get gifts. But you know, the best gift that any of you could ever receive this Christmas time is to receive Jesus as your friend and your Saviour and as your Lord. That's the greatest gift. That's what Christmas is all about, the gift that God sent to us, his one and only Son. And parents, we need to remember that too. The greatest gift for our children is not what we can give them in monetary terms, but it's what we can give them in spiritual terms. And parents, sometimes we have a problem here, because some parents, and I may be guilty of this, we struggle with the fact that maybe our children aren't perfect. We struggle with the fact that our children maybe are not perfect little children, but actually they are little sinners, just like you or I are little sinners. Some parents like to look over all the faults of their children and think that there's nothing wrong with them, but let's look at everybody else's children. We all can be guilty of that. But we need to recognise that our children are sinful and they need saving. From the moment of understanding, I believe God is an amazing God of love and grace and mercy and has mercy upon those little ones. But from the moment of understanding, they need to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Saviour. And we have a responsibility to teach, to pray, to love them, to direct them towards Jesus, who says, come to me. Come to me. But you know, finally, Jesus' words here shows again how special children are to him. And then to us adults, how important it is for us to care for children properly. Because in Mark 9, back to Mark 9, verse 42, they're very famous words in Jesus' teachings, talking about causing children to sin. And he says, if anyone causes one of these children who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. That's a massive charge, that is. To all of us who are adults, who are in this church today, it's our Saviour giving us a warning here. He's giving us a threat here to protect these children, and especially those children who love him. You know, we should never belittle faith of little children, ever. We really shouldn't. We should never belittle their faith. I remember when I was about 18 years old, I had my first car, and I'd gone to pick Tim up from school one afternoon after school, and he'd been getting bullied a bit by some kids at school, as many people, I'm sure, have experienced bullying at school. And I remember driving home with him, and he said, those are those kids there that have been giving me gin. And I pulled over, and I said, just point to which ones. He pointed to a couple of lads. And I got out, went up to him, and I said, see, that's my brother in the car over there. I said, you've been giving him hassle. Well, I said, you've been giving hassle. I said, you ever give him hassle again, I'm going to smash your face in. I said, I'm going to smash your face in, pal. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about the rights or wrongs of that this morning. It was one of those moments where I believe it was probably right. Probably. But I did. But can I tell you here, The warning that Jesus says to us who are adults and those who are in this church is a little bit more severe than my smashy face in. It is. A millstone is a mighty heavy piece of stone. And he said, it's better for one of those to be put round your neck and you to be thrown into the depths of the sea than to hurt any of these children or young people in this fellowship. It's a massive, massive charge. And especially those children who love me. It's a massive, massive thing, and we should take it very, very seriously. You know, too many people in churches go around hurting other Christians, go around dividing churches. And you know, children get damaged when churches divide. When members argue with one another and have a bad spirit towards one another, children get hurt and get damaged. Collateral damage is unacceptable. So we have to be filled with the love of Christ in this fellowship to protect our children. And by doing that, we're taking seriously what Jesus said here. Because these are precious, valuable things that have been given to us. But children, you need to know this. All of you children and young people, listen. Jesus loves you so much that he warns us old ones who get things very, very wrong. This is what it's going to cost us if we get it wrong. We love you. But not as much as your Heavenly Father loves you. You know, one of my heroes, we all have heroes. You mentioned Joey Essex. He's no hero. Even with his white teeth and his smighty smile, he's no hero. One of my heroes is a man called Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was a wonderful preacher and he loved people, cared for children, had a wonderful heart for children, really compassionate. But he became a Christian at the age of about 16 years old. And this is his story, how he became a Christian, because it's really beautiful. I'm going to read it to you. He was walking in the snow one day to get to his chapel in the morning, and it was so bad the weather that he stopped off at a primitive Methodist church, the poor fella. And he stopped off at this primitive Methodist church, and he went inside. There was only very few people. He lived down in Colchester. And he said, the minister did not come that morning. He was all snowed in. So another man had to step in. He said, I suppose at last a very plain, thin-looking man, a shoemaker, a tailor, something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. He was obliged to stick to the text for the simple reason that he had little else to say. That's really great as me. The text was, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. When he'd managed to spin out 10 minutes or so, he was at the end of his tether. He had nothing else left to say. Then he looked at me under the gallery, and I dare say with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. Just fixing his eyes on me as if he knew all my heart, he said, young man, you look very miserable. Well, I did. But I had not been accustomed to have remarks made from the pulpit or of my personal appearance before. However, it was a good blow, and it struck me right home. He continued, and you always will be miserable. Miserable in life, miserable in death, if you don't obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment you will be saved. Then lifting up his hands, he shouted, as only primitive Methodists could do, young man, look to Jesus. Look, look, look. You have nothing but to do but look and live. I saw at once the way of salvation. I had been waiting to do 50 things, but when I heard that word look, what a charming word it seemed to me. Oh, I looked until I could almost have looked my eyes away. There and then the clouds were gone. The darkness had rolled away, and that moment I saw the sun. And I could have risen that instant and sung with the most enthusiastic of them of the precious blood of Christ and the simple faith which looks at him alone. The simple faith that looks at him alone. Today, all of us, whether we're old or young, you young people, look to Jesus. Look to him. There's no age stipulation in Scripture, just look to him. All of us must look to Jesus. Children, know this. If you're young or whether you're just a toddler, whatever age, doesn't matter. Know this. You are so important to Jesus. You're so important to your Savior that he loved you more than life itself. He went to the cross for you and for me, and he shall surround you with his love. He'll be with you all of your days through all that you have to face, because you kids, you have a greatest friend, and that is Jesus Christ. You're precious and valuable to him. But parents, remember this. Take heed of what Jesus warns us in that passage. Protect, love, and let's enable children to come to Jesus. Don't put anything in their way. Aid them. Let's all look to Jesus this day. Let's come together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time we've had this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the children that are here represented, and we just pray your blessing upon them all. Pray that they would come to look to you, to look to your Son. And we just pray, Father, that here in this fellowship, we would do all we can to protect and guide and love. And we just pray, Lord, in everything we do, you'd be pleased with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing our final song. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend. Let's stand together. To keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.